What a great way to start your morning with some freshly squeezed juice. And we bring in Juice himself, Kevin BX, into the conversation. Morning, Kev.
Morning, guys. How's it going? Afternoon here.
It's afternoon already. Where are you these days, anyway?
Well, I'm in Ontario now. I've spent every summer here, actually my whole life, where I grew up, just north of Toronto now. But I've always gone back with my family in the summer in, you know, June, July, August to get back to see family and enjoy the Ontario summers.
Now, did you guys have to make a decision beforehand, before this all lockdown, or were you guys able to get home? Because you guys typically spend you winter down in Southern California, do you not?
Yeah, we're there for the majority of the year. But like I said, we've always made the trip back here and usually flying. But we decided to go for a nice long road trip, and we drove with
really?
The dog. And we were due, you know, like you guys and like most people, we were quarantined for 3 months. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to take a nice car ride after that, you take it. So we broke it up with a couple night stays. And then, you know, when we got here, we're still in quarantine. We got two more days of quarantine before we can start kind of venturing out. But We've enjoyed the change of scenery for sure.
Not that you could do much when you're traveling, but was there one spot on that trip where you go, okay, man, I've never been here, never thought, cool that we saw it?
I've done the drive myself 5 or 6 times, so I was pretty familiar with it. We always stop in Vail. Vail's just such a beautiful part of the country and a great little town. It's like a little mini version of Whistler, so we stopped there. We stayed there for 2 nights and got to show the family around there. Went for a nice hike. So that's my favorite part of the country for sure, like around the Rockies.
And now you're wrapping up quarantine. So here we are 9 years ago today. A magical ride comes to an end. I don't know if you're. I don't want to set your day off in the wrong tone, but I mean it's been 9 years. Can you look back and appreciate it now, what you guys accomplished in the journey now that you've kind of had some rearview mirror time? Does it still hurt?
No, I mean, it hurts a little bit, but I don't wake up every morning crying about it. It's been 9 years, like you said. It's funny because my daughter walks downstairs this morning and she's got her old Kevin BX, the Vancouver Canucks jersey on, just by coincidence. And because she has her Zoom calls still because she's still in school back in California. Yeah. And it's jersey day there. So she found that in her closet here. She put it on. And it was kind of just a huge coincidence because it was, you know, literally 5-10 minutes ago I saw her just before I got the call to come on the show. And, I mean, I heard you guys talking a little bit before I got on about that night to the city and retirement and how all those guys came back for the first time, Longo, Kessler, and That was a really cool night for us. That was a little bit of closure, I think, for that group to come back to get the standing ovation individually and collectively that we got from the crowd, and then just to spend some time together again, all of us in the same room. We're up in the suites there. We had, you know Gillis and Nonis and Berkey and all the guys that brought us all in there. Mark Crawford, one of our first coaches. That was just a great, great couple days there to kind of put closure to everything.
Yeah, and Kevin, it's funny. I was saying that because, I mean, you guys are in the middle of your business. And you're going to go your own ways. Your careers are going to continue. But I really felt that night was one where this city, because, you know, it's in the dressing room where we tell Hank and guys, by the way, there's cars on fire. And then, you know, everyone just gets into the negativity of that riot. And it didn't really seem that the core of that group was ever celebrated by the fan base. And then you see the team go the wrong way and you go, man, this was one of the best in the NHL ever and just ran into some bad luck. But yeah, you felt that night was maybe one to go, man, we accomplished an awful lot in 2011. And did you feel that from the fan base when you were giving your speech and receptions?
Yeah, I do. And I'm a big believer in enjoying the process. So it's not always about the end goal. The end goal was obviously always to win a Stanley Cup. But what a great, like thinking back, what a great year it was. We had a lot of great wins. We had so much fun together. We were such a great, tight-knit group. The playoff run was unbelievable. It galvanized the whole city. You know, I'm sure all the small business owners were happy with it. And, you know, it was a great time for people to get together, watch games. The streets were packed during the third and fourth rounds. The process was like the time of my career, and I'm sure a lot of guys will echo that. We had so much fun during that playoff run, and yeah, we fell short by one game, and that would have maybe been the cherry on top with, you know, winning the cup and having the parade. But the whole playoff run in that season was just like a fairy tale. So there's a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be proud of from our group for sure.
What was your favorite moment? Like what was the moment that you look back on that 2011 run? And like you said, I mean, you come up short, but you know, was it your goal that puts you into the Stanley Cup? Like, what was the moment that kind of stood out? That sort of feeling, slaying the dragon. Like, what comes to mind?
Yeah, like on ice for sure. It probably would have been Burr's goal, and I've said that before. Like I always chirp Burr and I say, yeah, congrats Burr, you scored the second biggest goal in franchise history. But really, that was the most fun I've ever had celebrating. It was one of those things where there was just pure joy, and you didn't know what to do with yourselves. We were just so happy and relieved that we won, and we were going to be moving on and finally beating Chicago, who had taken us out the two previous years. But I think, you know, the most fun in that season, like I said, the group was so close, and it wasn't close in a way like huggy-huggy all the time. It was like a group that we chirped each other in the dressing room. Everybody, nobody was off limits. Everyone chirped everybody. We had so many laughs. We had so many good times in the room before practices, after practices, you know, hanging around on the road, traveling together. We had so much fun on the planes and the card games and all the arguments and the fighting, and it was just a fun year from start to finish.
Hi, Kevin Bieksa joining us on the Ski Patrol, Sulkowski, Cebulski. Kev, I know what you guys have to say during the playoffs, and it's true. You don't get too high after the wins. You don't get too low after the losses. But, you know, as we traveled as media to watch Game 3 in Boston, you got to tell me, when you guys jump on that plane, having won the first two, 87% of those teams that win the first two win a Stanley Cup. Like, I'm not going to say confident or cocky, but that had to be as relaxed a group ever on a plane going to Boston. Am I right?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I don't think we were super relaxed. I think Boston lost the first two games in their previous series to Tampa, or maybe the round before. Yeah. I just remember Boston being a really good, strong home team. So I think we were kind of getting ourselves prepared. And don't forget, in the first round, we were up 3-0, and we ended up winning in game 7 of overtime. So true. I don't think we let the foot off the gas. I just think we really went into Boston. And I rewatched the 3 games in Boston in the series. We had good starts to all 3 games. All 3 games, we could have scored the first goal. And hockey, like every other sport, is a game of momentum. If you get that first goal, you feel so good about yourself. You play different. You're looser. There's so much more tension in the ring for Boston. We played so well in the first, you know, 3, 4, 5 shifts of each game, and we didn't capitalize. And then they were able to get that first goal, and then it kind of snowballed after that. But
when did you watch it? Recently, or did you watch it like when it had happened, like that summer?
I've watched it during quarantine, believe it or not. I think there's a game, I can't remember if Globo or somebody played it earlier. It was maybe the Slaying of the Dragon game. And I think I did some sort of TV or media with it alongside it. I can't remember exactly what happened. Murph came on too. But I ended up going back on YouTube, and the one night I stayed up till like 3 a.m. and I watched the whole game. Like I watched almost that whole playoff run. I didn't watch any of the Nashville series, but I watched the San Jose series, and I watched the parts of the Chicago, and then I watched the Stanley Cup Finals, just to kind of see, like, and I talked to other guys like Andrew Alberts and some of the other guys and Kess. They've never even watched any of the games, so I kind of wanted to see if it was just as I remember, because I got a terrible memory, right, long term. I've been hitting the head a lot. Probably, I'm like, you guys, like, I can hold my own in a 5-minute conversation, but when we start going back and back and back, I'll lose to anybody. So I wanted to kind of remember what it was like with my own eyes. And I was surprised. I actually thought we got dominated more because the scores were pretty favorable.
They were lopsided, Boston, but, yeah.
Oh, they were terrible scores when you look at them. But, like, I remember Higgy was one of our best players that whole playoff run. Higgy had, like, 3 or 4 breakaways in Boston, like, and just couldn't find the back. Like, just everything that could go wrong went wrong for us in Boston. If Aaron Rome's hit, yeah, whatever, sway the momentum. Mason Raymond breaks his back. We had so many bad bounces in Boston. You know, a couple handcuff shots that got Louis. Like, I remember Ryder shot with a knuckleball in Marchand's in game, I think it was 6. Like, just a couple, like, fluky things that happened that they go the other way and you win. And that's the difference between winning a cup and not. You need all those things to go perfect for you.
Did not you that you want to pitch, but there's been people texting us, how did you find the refereeing?
Yeah, like, I know there's a big story about the refereeing, and there was a different standard once they got, you know, we got to the finals. We were obviously a team that year that we were tough. Like, we were fast. We hit hard. We were tough. But we didn't have any, like fighters. We didn't have – I remember we brought in Hordichuk after that to have, like, a legitimate heavyweight guy. But we didn't have a heavyweight guy that year. We had Tanner Glass, who fought a little. I fought a little bit. We had – I mean, I don't even remember after that. Like, Rafi would have fight if he had to. Kess would fight if he had. We didn't have any fighters, right? We were just a good team from top to bottom. So when we went to Boston, yeah, like, the games, they tried to bully us a little bit because that's the only way they knew they could beat us. And we didn't get as many power plays as we did the rest of the season, and we are the number one power play in the league. So we crushed teams with our power play. But we didn't get those chances in Boston, and actually when we did, our power play went ice cold. So if you want to look at what really lost us the finals, it was probably our power play going ice cold.
When you look back on how, you know, the moment, and you're, I guess you're in your own bubble, if you will, at the time, you know, focused on the prize and the task at hand. But it's amazing how the series was so polarizing. I mean, I think there were 8.5 million Canadians who watched Game 7. I mean, people were dialed into this series. And, yeah. You know, I mean, the Bruins can be a polarizing team. I mean, a lot of people hate on Boston here in Vancouver. A lot of people hate on Boston in Toronto, the most populated city in the country. And yet people were dialed in. But you guys were a polarizing team. Like, did you sense that, like you said, I mean, you've got family, you kind of grew up in the Southern Ontario area. Did you have a lot of, did you find family were as divided, saying, man, like, Kev, I hope it works out for you, but man, you are an unlikable team. Like, did you feel that from other parts of outside of Vancouver?
No, and that's something, when I played, like, I can look back now and reflect and watch all these things, but when I played, I was always zoned in. And I almost think that I didn't enjoy my NHL career as much as a lot of other guys because I was so zoned in all the time, focused. Like, what's my routine? What's my routine? How's my body feeling? How's my cardio? Like, how's my strength? I was worried about myself and putting myself in the best situation for every game. So, like, worried about who's my opposition, like pre-scouts. That was all my effort and my attention and my energy. Everything I had went towards my craft. So I didn't have time. I didn't care. You know what? Like, I'm one of the only guys. I never even knew where my wife sat in Rogers Arena. Like, I remember Kess used to, like, wave and blow kisses to his wife, and Burr would blow kisses to Nancy. I had no idea where Katie sat my whole career. I went to Anaheim, same thing. Never looked up in the stands, never looked in the crowd, just kind of, like, look at some of the signs around, you know, the lower bowl for a warm-up and that kind of thing. But once the game started, I was so dialed in that I could care less what was going on around me. So it was kind of the same way with family. Family knew how I was, and yeah, I'd talk to everybody. They'd cheer us on, but honestly, I didn't really care who they were cheering for. I didn't care what they thought in that moment because I was kind of dialed into myself.
But did you, because it's funny, Kev, as we celebrate 50
selfish years,
totally. Here, we would probably say, sorry, James, we'd probably say you may be the one because of your personality with us in the media who it seemed like you could turn it off and you had great perspective of everything. You know, Tanev could play the game with a cigarette in his mouth, so laid back. You were the go-to guy, so could you turn it off as soon as you got into the room? Because I would think you're the one guy said, man, I made sure I enjoyed every moment of being a pro hockey player.
I mean, I don't really understand the question, but I think...
Well, you seem so laid back. Like, I'm surprised that you said you were so focused that you didn't enjoy what you were part of.
I know. It's hard to understand and it's hard to explain, but I just... In the dressing room, yeah, like, had lots of fun, like, always joking around, always, you know, sit with a coffee, like, in the lounge on the couch with, like, Edler and the Twins and just watching TV, joking around. Yeah, but, like, it's like a switch. As soon as I started getting dressed and as soon as I went onto the ice, practice or game, like, I was dialed in. And I think a lot of our team was like that, and that's why we were so good, and that's why we got better every day in practice. And it's the old cliche, but we were so competitive with each other, and we wanted to beat each other as much as we wanted to beat other people. And every drill, every weightlifting activity, like every run, car, everything. So, yeah, like I was loose. When you guys came into the room, though, after, like I knew, I understood what your job was. And I understood what kind of people you guys are. I understood exactly, like, you're coming in, you're doing your job, you're trying to get a quote, you're trying to get a story. I would just make it easy on you guys some days. Some days I'd mess around with you, I'd make it harder. I toyed with the media to my own enjoyment, my own entertainment for most days. But I understood, like, if I didn't really want to deal with you guys one day, I'd just give you a golden quote right off the bat or a golden thing, and I'd walk away and laugh, right? Like, I think some guys dread talking to the media and dread, you know, interacting with you guys. But once you understand that you guys just have a job, you know, some days if I don't want to deal with you, I just give you what you need and I take off. Other days if I feel like having fun with you, you know, pull your leg a little here, don't answer this question, make fun of Ben Kuzma over here, Chirpy and McIntyre. Like, you can have a lot of fun with the media too.
It's all on whether you embrace the moment or not, for sure. And you clearly did, and I think that's partly why you're such a fan favorite here in these parts and so many years later. Tell me this, the night of Game 7, the night it ends, obviously the chaos is happening outside. What time did you finally get out of the arena?
I think it was probably like 1:30 or something like that. I remember, like, my daughter was 1 year old. So after the game, we went upstairs to greet her family. And I remember holding her all night because she's sleeping. My son was 3. He's tired as heck, right? Mm-hmm. And the riots start happening. We actually, in the third round, we rented my first 6 years in Vancouver. We were in a condo on Marina Side. And the third round, the owners came back from China, wherever they were living, and they said, we want our apartment back. We want to move back here permanently. And we had a year-long lease at the time. And I remember it's kind of a tough time right now for me. Like, I mean, if you watch TV at all, Vancouver's in, you know, the third round of the playoffs. Like, do you think you could, I'll pay for your hotel or whatever. Do you think you could just stay somewhere else and give me a couple more, like 2-3 more weeks? And they're like, no. So I wish I remembered what their name was and I could out them right
man.
Now. But they kicked me, my wife, and my 1 and 3-year-old out of our condo in the middle of the third round of the playoffs. So I actually had to move into, I think it's still their level furnished living on, I think it's on Richard Street. So I'm living in a friggin' glorified hotel in the third round, like in the biggest part of my, you know, biggest time of my career. And there's fire alarms going off every night. But anyways, when the rioting happened and started and they were tear gassing downtown, we obviously couldn't go back to our hotel, right? So we stayed till 1:30 in the rink or 2, and then we went to a good friend of Kess and I, Peter Gurgis. He was working at Opus Hotel. He went over there,
West
and he had a setup there where he had some food and some drinks and stuff, and we hung out there till 3 before I think we ended up getting home.
Wow. Hey, we were remiss not to ask you this quickly. I mean, all your friends, a lot of them are still playing in the league. You know, later on in your career, if you were still playing now, Patrick Kane kind of said, hey, man, let's not everybody jump the gun. We know July 10th is supposed to be training camp. Do you think they're playing, or do you think there's a lot of NHL players that have some serious concerns still about whether they get going in August?
I mean, I want to be careful how I answer this because I have some knowledge. I just know that last announcement of training camps beginning caught the players off guard. The players weren't aware of that announcement. They weren't aware that that was coming. So a lot of friends that I have and a lot of people I've talked to that are going to be playing, they still don't have their equipment. They still haven't skated. They're still very skeptical. They haven't been told anything by their team. So I'm skeptical. I obviously want hockey back. I'd love to cover some games and watch it on TV and get everything back to normal. But I wouldn't jump the gun if I were the fans. I wouldn't get your hopes up too much yet. There's so much to figure out, not only with the safety measures and protocol and everything, but, you know, I don't even think it's been discussed with the union and the league how they're going to divide HRR. Like, usually, historically, the players play for free in the playoffs, and the bonuses that they get are paid for by themselves. Well, there's no money. So that you're telling me the players are going to come back, leave their families, sacrifice their health, and get no money for it?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
How's that going to work? That's a pretty big negotiation right there that hasn't even been discussed yet.
And with the cat, yeah. And then there's a whole CBA that's kind of still in flux, too, going forward long term. I mean, does that become a talking point as well? Yeah, no,
it's... Well, guys' contracts expire in 2 weeks, so how are you going to extend guys' contracts? What about guys that are UFAs? Like, there's what about a team that has no chance really of advancing, like, and they got to go back and play 10 games, you know, like, and sacrifice? Like, hockey players are not used to taking off lots of time. There's some guys that will take off, like, a month in the summer. But there's 3 months, 3.5 months that have gone by, and nobody skated, and few guys have been even really training like they would in a normal summer. This is a dangerous time. And you know what? Selfishly, I think the players, you know, they're in the position where they can really hold back and do well for their CBA negotiations if there's anything that they want to accomplish in the next collective bargaining agreement. Anyways, we're getting too specific here, but my message is let's just be careful here because there's still a lot to figure out.
Pump
Kevin,
the
thanks for this. Appreciate it. Great to catch up. Fascinating that you just watched the series, and the fact that your daughter put on the Bieksa jersey on this day, the 9th anniversary, it all fit. Appreciate the time.
Okay, good talking to you guys.